We're starting from the very bottom of Nun Zayin Amud Beis, and we're talking about the din that Shomrim don't have the regular halachos when they are watching something that belongs to Hekdesh. So we saw the din Shomer Chinam Eino Nishba, that if someone is a Shomer Chinam, normally they have to swear it in order to patur themselves up and Gneva Aveda, but they don't swear when it comes to Hekdesh. What does that mean? If there's something of Hekdesh which is given to a Shomer, then if he claims that something happened to it, and therefore he's absolved from responsibility, he doesn't have to swear. So the Gemara asks for Minhu. Let's ask that there's a contradiction between our Mishnah said that there's no din shvua for Hekdesh and another Mishnah. Here the Mishnah talks about the chi of a machzis of shekel. So the way machzis shekel works is that everyone is obligated to send in half a shekel, and that's what provides the Beis HaMikdash with the resources to buy the karbanos that they need, which everyone has a share. So it says, b'nei yersha shekel shekelim, what happens if the people in a town send half shekels and they're sending them with shlichim, with messengers? B'nei yimush avdu, and then the coins are stolen from them, or they are lost. So what's the halacha? If the funds had already been separated, just to understand, they used to have collection boxes, and they would separate them three times a year and go and buy karbanos. So if the pshat that they were stolen and the funds had already been separated, so nishban lag is barn. So then they swear to the Beis HaMikdash that they weren't poshea when they were guarding them. In other words, the halacha here, in this case, is that since the coin was stolen or lost and it's already been separated, the funds have already been separated, so the Bailam doesn't have to replace it and bring another one. They're fine. What happens ends up happening, since it was lost or stolen, is that the Beis HaMikdash is just suffering the loss. So therefore, these shlichim have to exonerate themselves from the Beis HaMikdash, not from the owner. So therefore, the shvua that they're making is to the Gizbar, because since here it was stolen and the funds were already separated, so the Bailam's fine. The Bailam is fine with him being considered part of what the Beis HaMikdash had done. It's an interesting concept that it works that way. But the way that it works, we see here, is that as long as you've done your part and you've sent your shekel, and it only then it comes to light that something went wrong, but the Beis HaMikdash is already separated, so they separate on behalf of all those who have already sent. So therefore, if something comes to our attention now that it was lost or stolen after the Beis HaMikdash already separated, so we're good. We're good that we've already separated for the people who have sent. So this loss that the Beis HaMikdash has, this loss is only to the Gizbar, has only caused them a loss of the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, the shvua that the messenger has to make is directed toward the Gizbar. But if the funds weren't yet separated, so then it sounds like now that they're aware that the money was lost before the separation, so now the Bailam has to replace it and send another coin. So now the loss is to the Bailam. So Nishman the Bnei Ir. So then the messenger has to swear to the Bailam, to the people of the town. And then the people in the town have to contribute another half shekel. So basically, if it's coming to our attention that it's lost before, then they're going to have to replace it. If it comes to our attention that it was lost after we've already separated, they don't have to replace it. So if it comes to our attention before it was separated, so then they're swearing to the people of the city, to the owners, because they're going to have to give another one. But if it was after it was already separated, then they swear to the Beis HaMikdash, because the Baal's are not going to have to separate another one. Nimtzu, in the latter case, what happens if the half shekel was found after they've already separated another one? Maybe the thieves return them. Both the original coins and these new coins are both having kedusha of half shekels, and the replacement coins are not credited towards the following year. In other words, we say that they were both given for this year, even though it's an extra, but they both count for now. So what do we see? We clearly see from this Mishnah one important thing which contradicts our Mishnah, that there is a shvua on Hekdesh property, right? That's certainly what's happening. The question is, who do they swear to? But certainly, despite the fact that it's Hekdesh property, this half shekel is dedicated, is consecrated for Hekdesh. Nonetheless, we're saying that there's a shvua. Our Mishnah says that there shouldn't be a shvua for someone who is watching Hekdesh property. So why is it a contradiction? The Mishnah we're dealing with a case where they were a paid shomer. They weren't doing it for free. They weren't just taking it to be nice, but rather they were paid. They're not taking a shvua to patur themselves. That's not what's going on. What's going on is that they want to come back to those who sent them and say, okay, listen, we deserve to be paid, because we were carrying it, and it was at no fault of our own that it was stolen, and therefore you should still be paying us. And that's what the shvua is. The shvua is being made in order for them to collect their wages. But the Mishnah, our Mishnah, which says that a shomer doesn't pay, that means that shomer doesn't pay, that he wouldn't be liable. And that's always true. A shomer, whenever he's watching something of Hekdesh, there would never be liability, even without him taking a shvua. But here, the Mishnah is discussing something else, the Mishnah Shkalim. The Mishnah Shkalim is discussing them taking a shvua in order to collect their wages, because they were people who were being paid to watch. And the question is, did they do their job? Says the Gemara, and why would they ever be swearing to the Beis HaMikdash? We should always be swearing to the owners. If they're taking an order to collect their pay, who hired them? It's the owners, the residents of the town. So why would the first part of the mission be saying that they swear to the Beis HaMikdash, even though it's the Beis HaMikdash who suffered loss in the beginning? But the issue isn't the Beis HaMikdash's loss. The issue is, should they be taking their wages? So that's a shuvah that they should be taking towards the residents of the town. Amar Rabbi Nishman Ben Yair B'mayim B'Gizbar means that they swear to the residents of the town in the presence of the treasurers of the Beis HaMikdash. Why should they make sure that the treasurers of the Beis HaMikdash are around when they are swearing? Again, if they are swearing in both cases, they're swearing to the residents of the town. Then why is it important that when the loss is to the Beis HaMikdash, that the treasurers are around? The answer is, we don't want the treasurers to suspect that they took it for themselves. So it's just a nice thing that since the Beis HaMikdash suffered the loss, why not have them present when the Shavuah is taken and they go collect their wages? Inami, we don't want that the treasurer should call them poshim, that they were negligent. So it's essentially both the same answer. We don't want them to either be suspected of taking it for themselves, or people will say that they were negligent. But in that case, the treasurers are not receiving the Shavuah. They're just observing the Shavuah. The Shavuah is always being taken as the Shomer Sachars are swearing to the residents of the town for them to collect their wages. But again, as our Mishnah said, and in terms of liability, a Shomer would never be required to swear or else have to pay. Says the Gemara of Anigmu Shavdu Kedani, the Mishnah spoke about that the coins were stolen or lost. A Shomer Sachar, paid Shomer generally is liable for theft or loss. So too in the Mishnah's case, where the Beis HaMikdash's coins were lost or stolen, if you're going to say, we understand that they don't have to compensate the Beis HaMikdash for the lost coins, but they should lose their pay. Meaning, what's the whole point? That they're swearing not to absolve themselves from liability, but to collect their wages. But it doesn't make sense. A Shomer Sachar is going to pay that it was stolen, and therefore you should still pay me. A Shomer Sachar is liable generally for Geneva Pavedas, even if you're going to say they're not liable over here, but they shouldn't have the right. It doesn't seem fair to the residents of the town for them, these people, to demand their wages. What do you mean? You didn't do your job that a Shomer Sachar normally has required to do. A Shomer Sachar normally is required to watch even from Geneva Pavedas. You didn't. So why would they be swearing in Nigiva Shavdu and collecting their wages? Amar Rabba, what does it mean, stolen or lost? Nigiva Blishtim Azurim. They're talking about that it was stolen by armed robbers, which is considered an ones. It's only a regular Geneva Pavedas that a Shomer Sachar is chayav for, but if it's something like an ones, then they're potter. Avdu shetavas vasvei yam, it was lost, means that it sank at sea. These are things that they couldn't have prevented, and therefore they are entitled to their pay. So they're really swearing that an ones occurred. Okay, so that was the first resolution from the Mishnah on Shkalim, that the idea of the messenger swearing that was stolen really means that it was an onus that happened, and they are Shomer Sachars, and they're swearing not to absolve themselves from liability, but rather to collect their wages. Our mission was talking about that there's no concept of a Shomer of Hakdish swearing to absolve themselves of liability because they're always potter. Says the Gemara now a second chapter. Yochanan Amar, really, the mission was Kibshuta. They're swearing to absolve themselves of liability. I tactish. That mission was going like Reb Shimon, that if it's something that a person has responsibility for, even though it's hektish, but if it's an item that you are responsible for, so then that means you're still considered to be an owner, and there is ona, and you have to swear. So the mission on Shkalim, which was saying that they have to swear, is going like Reb Shimon. If it's going like Reb Shimon, so that there is Chiyuv Achrayus, that the Bailam would have to replace the coin. So therefore, it still is considered to be like the Bailams. It's not considered Hakdish. And therefore, it makes sense that if it's not considered Hakdish, then they would have to swear. It's only Hakdish you don't have to swear about. But here, it's not really considered Hakdish. Here, it's considered to still be the Bailam's money. So the Gemara just says, though, well, wait a second. That's only going to work for part of the Mishnah. The case where it was found before it was separated, where the Bailam has to back it up. And since the Bailam has to back it up, it's still considered his money. Since it's considered money, it's not considered Hakdish, they have to swear. That case makes sense. But Mishnah Mishra, the first case, where the money was discovered before the funds were separated from the Beis HaMikdash, in that case, the Bailam doesn't have to replace it. That's Kajim Sheinu Chai Bacharisen. The treasurers of the Beis HaMikdash, they always separate on behalf of coins that were lost, if they were already collected, but somehow didn't come to the Beis HaMikdash, or even the coins which are going to be collected. So basically, we're saying, if it was only coming to our attention that it was lost after the Beis HaMikdash already separated, so the Bailam doesn't have to give another one. So that's for sure is a Hakdish. So then why is there a Shua? So now we reject what Rabbi Yochanan said. So now we need another way to reconcile the two Mishnahs. Alamar Blazer Shuah Zutakaros Chacham. This Shuah is a new Takaros Chacham. Really, Maker Adin. Someone watching something that's Hakdish doesn't have to swear. The reason why there's a swearing is a new Takanam Drapanan. Shuliyu B'nei Adam Mizalzel Vehakdishus. We don't want people to be Mizalzel, to treat things that belong to the Beis HaMikdash in a careless way. In other words, in a Chanami, really, the unpaid Shomrim are watching of the Beis HaMikdash, and they're really potter from Shuah, but we don't want them to to treat things carelessly, because they know themselves, oh, anyways, I'm not going to have to swear. So therefore, it was a new takonas chachamim that they should swear. Our Mishnah was just representing the Din Doraisa. Din Doraisa is that a shomer on Hekdesh never has to swear to himself of liability, but this was simply a new takonas chachamim here in the Mishnah that still the shomer chinam should swear. Okay, next part of the Mishnah was noses achrayim mishalim, that a paid shomer for something of Hekdesh doesn't have to pay for the loss if something happens to it. So Ramli Rav Yosef Bar Chama LeRava, Ramli Bar Chama had a kasha astira tenan. It said in our Mishnah noses achrayim mishalim, paid shomer doesn't pay if something happens to the Hekdesh that he's watching. Or many will look at the contradiction between this and the brisa. So the brisa says as orchas apol. So if the treasurer hires a worker. So the Beis HaMikdash is hiring a worker, Lishmar Sapara, either to guard the Paraduma, you want to make sure that it doesn't become disqualified, Lishmar Satinok, to guard the child against becoming Tameh. There's a whole process of making the Paraduma. You do involve children and making sure that the people aren't Tameh is so vital. So you have someone who's guarding the children to make sure they don't become Tameh. Lishmar says, Ram, to guard the grain here, used for the Omer. So you they have them guarding the grain to make sure that they can use it for the carbon. You can't pay him if he's hired for the day. You can't pay him for the work that he does on Shabbos. This is a general halacha that you can't pay someone for the work that is done specifically for the day of Shabbos. So if these people were hired to watch and guards, you can't pay them for the work that they're doing on Shabbos. Lafiga, since you can't pay them for the work that they're doing on Shabbos, in achrayis Shabbos, the responsibility for any loss that would happen on Shabbos does not rest upon them. In other words, since they're not being paid for them, he doesn't have responsibility for what would happen then. So what is this going on? My level Shalom here, but just to continue. If it was being paid, not per day, but rather per week, per month, per year, or per 7 years, so then it's not being paid specifically for the day of Shabbos. This is a concept called Havlat, swallowed up. You're paying them for a general amount of time. Happens to be part of it is Shabbos, but really you're paying them for the entire job that they do, which is bigger than Shabbos. And then you're not paying them specifically for Shabbos, and then it's okay. Notice in those car Shabbos, you're allowed to pay him for what he did. If you got Chabar Shabbos, I love. Since you're paying him, therefore he's responsible. So what does it mean? My level of Shalom, it means that he's responsible to pay for it. Our Mishnah says that a paid shomer of Hekdesh doesn't have to pay for Gneva Veda. Here in this Mishnah, you see they have to pay. It's talking about whether or not he would receive his wages. He's never obligated to pay for the loss, like our Mishnah taught. That Mishnah is talking about whether the Shomer Zachar would be able to collect for doing his job. Says the Gemara. So that's what we're saying, is that since I'm allowed to pay him the Havlah, so then he would be able to collect for the job, even for the part that he did on Shabbos. But Ihachi, so what does it mean? Reishutan inachai Shabbos alav, where you're paying him just for the days, and then Shabbos is not on him. It means that he would lose his wage. Of course, it says that he doesn't have Schar Shabbos. The next part of the Braisa obviously doesn't mean he doesn't collect. It just said he doesn't collect. Obviously, what does it mean? That since he's not being paid, he's not responsible. And now our question comes back. If that's clearly what it means, since he's not being paid, he's not responsible. So we see that when he is paid, then the meaning of the seifa is that he is responsible. So our question comes back. We see that a shomer the hektish, if he's being paid, he is responsible. So the Gemara says, Ishtik, Rabbi was silent. Amalei, he said, Midish Me'achabaha, did you hear an answer? Amalei, Hachmer, Sheshes, Bishakonim, Yad. We're talking about that there was a specific kinyan which was done where he committed to pay for Gneva Veda. In other words, generally, we're saying the rule of our Mishnah is true. That a Shomer Sachar of Hekdesh is not responsible for Gneva Veda, but if they make a special kinyan and a commitment in advance that if something happens, you're going to pay, okay, you could do that. You could leave that. That's left to your own discretion if you want to make a special kinyan and a commitment ahead of time that when you're walking from the Beis HaMikdash, if something happens, you're going to pay. Okay, then you specifically commit yourself to do that. You'll have to pay. Okay, next, now we continue the next part of the mission. Is that even if it's Hekdesh, but if you have responsibility to replace it, if something happens, so that makes it that you're a bialim, that you're an owner, and therefore it will have hona, and you'll have to swear. Tanu tana kame to reviews for abal kashu shkai bar kuzu kai. Where do we see this? So here we're actually talking about bringing a chiyuv of the ashram. If something happens, when something was stolen, and then you swear falsely about it, and then you admit it, so you have to bring an ashram to the oath. So normally we say that doesn't apply to Hekdesh, but Reb Shimon is saying that does apply to things where there's a chiyuv achrayis. Why? Shani kori behem b'Hashem v'chichish. It's a drasha here. The pashon of the pasuk is nefesh ki sefto mal mal b'Hashem. Someone rebels against Hashem v'chichish b'amisa b'vigadon. He denies a monetary claim to his friend about a deposit. So we put together the word b'Hashem with the continuation of the pasuk v'chichish, and we say that is talking about something that actually belongs to Hashem. if it's something that belongs to Hashem and to his friend at the same time, which is a way of saying kachim where there's a chivach rais, then there's liability. But if there's no chivach rais, potter, So how does this go? What are you saying? You're saying that if it's, if you're saying that is, there's a chivach rais, that's b'Hashem achichish, but if it's eno chivach rais, then it's that's only Hashem. It's backwards. Clap it lie. Abraham is the opposite. So Amalei, Simon, what should I do? Delete the brayzer. Amalei, lochigam. This is what it's saying. Kachem shachaber acharis chayiv. If it's chayiv acharis chayiv, this shrabel and Hashem mechichish. It's included. Hashem and he's not. Acharis patrish him ad miam miam yisum mechichish. It's excluded by his friends. So if there's no chayiv acharis, it's only Hashem's. So that what we mean is that's excluded from liability because that's not ba'amisu v'chichish. Amisu v'chichish means that you have to be denying something that belongs to his friend. So if it's a no chivach rais, you can't say that. But if there's a chivach rais, then you could say it does belong to Hashem. Of course, that comes a little bit from the riboy of the word Hashem. So Hashem v'chichish ends up saying kashrus shachar is still considered to be the bialims, and therefore you have to, in our Mishnah, that's true, we go no, and there would be swearing, and in that case, it would be Ashram Zelos. What was the next part of the Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Afamokra Sefer Torah, Margalus Ubehima in the Monas. Someone sells a Sefer Torah, a jewel or an animal, is not subject to the Nima of Onas. What's the Pshat? And these are not excluded from the Psukim. So Tanya says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Afamokra Sefer Torah, in the Monas, Fishin, Kids of the Mah. There's no limit to the value of a Sefer Torah. So no matter how much you overcharge, it's not considered to be a price fraud. Behima Margalus in the Monas. Same thing for an animal or a jewel. Nisha Adam writes to the Zafkin. It's very important to a person to match what he already owns. A strong ox can be ruined if it plows together with a weak one. So it's very important, the same thing with jewelry. You have one stone, you want another exactly the same. So if sometimes a person would pay premium, a person would pay way more than market price in order to get specifically what they want in these things. So therefore, there's no dinam of onas. That's true for anything. In other words, there should never be dinam of onas. You could always make that argument that there could be a specific reason why the person cares so much to match it or to have it in his possession, and therefore they'll overpay, they'll pay more than the market value. So you, according to what you're saying, then maybe you could tie into that there's never onas for anything. So the Mara says back, no, these things like the animal jewel are very important to a person. Their person generally is happy to overpay. Other things, yes, you may have certain preferences, but they're not as important, and therefore it is shaykh to ona. Says more of ad kama, how much of an overcharge can be for these things? I'm remembering they demand up until double their value is not ona, but anything more than that would be. Tanya says in Bryce review, someone sells a horse, a sword, or a shield during a time of war in the mona. There's no ona. Nation machinefa shows everything that is essential to life, and a person will happily pay more market price to protect his life. Says the Mishnah, the same way there is the parsha of onah in business and buying and selling. Kach onah bidvarim. There also is a concept of wronging someone with their words. Onah as dvarim. So you're wronging a person. The side of onah isn't necessarily the word cheating. It's not necessarily unethical business. The side of the word onah is wronging. So you can wrong a person in business. You can wrong them with words as well. So for example, you shouldn't say how much is this item for Ritzel Likach, but he doesn't really want to buy it. He shouldn't do that to him. For a person was about tshuva, he used to be a sinner. A person shouldn't say to him, remember your past deeds the way you used to be wicked. If the person descends from Gerim, remember the way your family used to act. You shouldn't wrong or oppress a ger. Says the Gemara, Rabbanan lo sonis ish amiso. That's our pasuk that we've been talking about. Sonis ish amiso, but onos dvarim akos medaber. It's not talking about necessarily in business. It's talking about onos dvarim, even just verbal. Says the Brisa, how do I know that's right? Ato onos dvarim. You are saying that's talking about verbal wrong. I don't know, mama. Maybe it means price fraud. Because you omer, you have the other pasuk. Yeah, the pasuk of Simcha Mimkal Misachal Karam Yana Misachal Inos Mamun Amar. There it's mentioned. Mani Kam Los Nishas Miso. So what is the pasuk that's actual Sinishas Miso? But also the farm must be talking about wronging done with words. Okay, it's sad. But about Chuva Yom Los Ramas Sachar Shonim. You shouldn't remind about Chuva of his past sins. My Ben Ger Yom Los Ramas Sachar Maisav Sachar. Don't remind the Ger of the way his family used to be. My Ger Balu Matar. If someone who's a Ger and he comes to learn, Ayom Alo, don't tell the Ger. Pashal Chom No Veil Sutribish Glasam Ramasim. This mouth that used to eat all types of non kosher things. Balu Matar. Now it's going to come and study Torah, which was said to us in the mouth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Another example, if a person has yisurim, suffering on him, if a person has diseases, if a person is bearing his children, so it seems like he's suffering from calamity, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is punishing him. You shouldn't say to the person the way that Eov's friend said to him, what did Eov's friend said to him? Basically, they said it's because you didn't fear God and now Hashem is punishing you. So you should not say that to a person who is suffering. If donkey drivers are looking for work, they're looking for some grain to transport. Don't say to them, go to so-and-so who sells grain. If you know that the person never sold grain in his life, that's just wronging them with your words. If you don't, a person should not eye a certain merchandise, look at it as if he wants to buy it when he doesn't really have enough money to buy it. Now, very important to understand that a lot of this is something that's very private. You know, no one will ever know that you're doing it. So that's why the pasuk says next to it, the obligation to fear God. All these things depend on the person's heart and intent. That's why it says by this pasuk, it writes that you should fear Hashem. It says that wronging a person with words, it can be a greater sin than even price fraud. When it's verbal, it says you should fear Hashem. So it's even worse that you can hurt a person, and Hashem is more on your case, so to speak, with onaz devar more than onaz mam. Blaz omer, a different idea. Verbal is wrong. Zeh begufo, this one you do with yourself. Zeh mamono, this one is only done to the victim's money. So you hurt, you're hurting him as opposed to hurting the money. That's where hurting him is worse. Shomer achmini omer zetin lisham zeh lisham. Another one you can repay. If it was price fraud, you can repay it. But if it's a type of verbal wrong, it's hard to repay. Says the Gemara, another case of verbal wrong. Anyone who embarrasses his friend in public, literally, hamalbin means that you make his face turn white. Kilush of adam is as if you have spilled blood. It's like murder. Amalei abak amid, what you're saying is right. Because you know, also sumka of also chivri. I see how red color leaves when a person gets embarrassed and his face turns white. So that's the idea. It's like killing. It's like taking his blood. What are they careful in the West, in Eretz Yisrael? What are they careful in? They're careful not to embarrass people. Everyone goes to Gehenim except for the Rehi. Everyone goes to Gehenim. Everyone goes to Gehenim can still come up. There's still help. Except for three people, they descend, they cannot come up. These are the three people. Someone who sleeps with another man's wife. Someone who embarrasses his friend in public. Someone who calls his friend by an embarrassing nickname. That's also a big embarrassment. So Mar says it's really two things, not three things, because Machana Hanu Malbin, calling him an embarrassing nickname is the same like embarrassing. So Mar explains, Avagav to Dash Beishmei, even if he's used to being called and he doesn't necessarily turn white, it's still a sin to call him that in public.